and welcome to Let's Talk Diz, a show that gives you everything you need to know to help make your Disney vacation as magical as can be in just about 20 minutes. I'm your host, Jeff Coviello. With me each week is Disney Master Sandy from Easy Diz by Instant Impressions Travel Services. Sandy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great this week. How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing good. I'm excited to talk about our topic this week. Truth be told, it's something that I've only really experienced as an audience member once before in Las Vegas. And it's coming to us after really a lot of buildup for many years. And obviously, COVID in the middle of this really, really threw the monkey wrench in the whole thing. But I remember a few years ago when I was following the news and I was talking to you and we had learned that there was going to be a change in the Cirque du Soleil theater over there. At that time, I think it was still Downtown Disney, but now it's Disney Springs, and that they were going to bring a new show there. So tonight we're going to talk about that new show that has finally hit Disney Springs from Cirque du Soleil.
And that is true. And I'm going to preface this by saying the only Cirque show I have seen is La Nuba, the original show in this theater. I've actually seen it several times. I'm very lucky. It's been included as part of different conferences and things that I've been to. And I wasn't always a huge fan. I will say the people in the old show and the new show are phenomenally talented. Probably about 5 minutes into any time I've watched it, I have felt this desire to rejoin a gym so that maybe in a year I could be about a quarter of as flexible as they are.
Sure, sure.
Because they are incredibly fit, incredibly talented. But I always thought with La Nuba, which had a 19-year run, it opened in late December 1998 all the way through December 31st, 2017. I had trouble understanding the storyline on La Nuba, and I need a good storyline to keep me actively involved.
Right.
And so when they announced this new show, as you said, it kind of filled my heart. It sounded phenomenal. Drawn to Life is the title. It officially opened November 18th, 2021. And it is the first ever collaboration with Disney and Cirque. So La Nuba was all Cirque, but this one, Drawn to Life, was billed as this great collaboration all about a Disney storyline. And so you knew they hooked me right up front and you had to love it.
Well, and I think that that's what drew my attention too when they had discussed it, because like you, I'm always, pun very much intended, drawn to a great story. And I think that's why you and I are so simpatico when it comes to the things about Disney that we love so much, because they're storytellers first and foremost. So before we break down the actual show, why don't you give us a little bit of information as to if somebody's interested at all, if Cirque is their thing and they know they want to go, or maybe they just are interested and curious. Give us the details that we might need if somebody's looking to book something like this.
So they offer two shows nightly, 5:30 and 8 p.m. It is a 90-minute show with no intermission, and you are strongly discouraged from getting up. So, you know, if you're bringing kids or whoever, make sure everyone's gone to the bathroom and you're prepared to sit for 90 minutes. The show is dark Sundays and Mondays. And if you check out their calendar, they have random odd vacation week or week. So it does take some planning. There's a chance that it's not happening during your trip. The ticket cost is high. It is a Broadway caliber show. There are four price points. The least expensive tickets start at $85 a piece. Next, $119, $149, and then $185 for the seats closest to the stage. I personally, except for the pre-show that I'll talk about in a minute, I don't think you need to be close to the stage. If you've been to this theater before, you know how small it is. If you haven't been, visualize this with me. The front part of the theater is eight rows. That's it. Eight rows. Then there is a break slash walkway. Then, depending which section you're in behind it, there are 10 or 11 rows of seats. The theater in the bottom section has five sections. Up top, it's got five full sections and two what I call halves. The entire theater is on an arc. But if you were doing that math in your head, 8 rows and 11 rows. It's only 19 rows. The person furthest from the stage is 19 rows away.
Okay.
There is part of the show that happens at that break in the middle. So if you're sitting in the front row, unless you're an awesome mom that has eyes in the back of your head, you're not seeing part of the show because it's going on behind you. They do have a kids ticket price. It is $30 off those prices that I gave, except for the top tier seats. The $185 tickets have no discount available.
Now, let me ask you this, because you're mentioning the kids ticket price, right? We had talked about every single time we do these shows that it has to work for your traveling party. So I'm not going to suppose that you're able to put everybody that's traveling with children into one bucket. Obviously, everybody's family is different. But if you were building this vacation, as we know you do, is there a group of travelers that you would maybe say this show is for, or a group of travelers that you would say the show maybe is not for based on the price right there and maybe children? Is this something that you think children could sit through? It's 90 minutes. It's dark. It's got a lot of different things to it that's not your traditional Disney show. So I guess that's my question. It's a new experience. Is this something that you're going to have conversations with some of your clients about to say, hey, this is maybe for you, or maybe this is not for you?
We obviously will. And it's really no different than everything else that we talk about. I'm going to put it on par with signature dining. We get asked all the time, you know, can my child go to California Grill, Narcoossee's, Citrico's? Can they go? Sure. Is that something that you would do with your child? If you're home, you know, with signature dining, I say, if you only take your child to McDonald's when you're home, signature dining isn't for your child.
Right.
If when you're home, you're taking your child to Ruth Chris Steakhouse, signature dining might be for you.
Right.
And maybe I need to get Ruth Chris and McDonald's to be a show sponsor now.
That would be good.
Same thing for Sir. If you don't take your child to a movie theater because you're not even willing to pay $10 for a movie ticket because they can't sit through it, and you're not taking them to Disney on Ice, a traveling Broadway company, then this isn't for you. But if you're that theater family and you're taking your child to every traveling Broadway show that hits your city, then this is a perfect fit for you.
It's like everything else that you consistently say. You've got to know your traveling party and make decisions based upon that. So the one thing that I did want to ask you, because you had mentioned the pre-show, some of us aren't familiar with what that is. So let's lead with that. Like, once you arrive at the theater, once you've made this choice, what are you walking into?
So I definitely suggest do not cut it close. There's to enter the theater, you're going up a lot of stairs. You may want to check out the souvenirs again, restroom, grab a drink, whatever you're doing. You're going to want to be in your seat a good 12 to 15 minutes before the show starts, because they start to set the scene. They've got a character waiting on stage. And by character, I don't mean
Mickey
or somebody you're going to even recognize, but it's going to set the storyline. And they just kind of hang out. Then we'll see some other characters join them. We'll have some music get started. If you did pay for those seats in the $185 section, they do actually pick four children from the audience and bring them on stage to drawn to life, and kick off the show. So it's a fun thing to watch. It is the only time when you can have a camera out. This is a no camera, no video show, but you can grab a quick picture or two in that pre-show. And so obviously you'll see those on our social channels as well.
How long would you say that pre-show approximately runs for?
Runs about 15 minutes.
Okay. So it's designed as people are filtering in, doing the things that you had mentioned, just to get everybody in that frame of mind that this is about to, you know, this is what they're going to about to experience.
And it's for a really good segue. It's not like, you know, the lights are on full blast and everybody's sitting and talking. And now, typical for Broadway, it would go pitch dark and then it would really start. They do a great job segueing into the show.
Okay, so anybody that's been to a Cirque show knows that while story is important, the physical acts are really kind of what sticks in your memory. So I do want you to break down a little bit of the story. I don't necessarily want you to maybe spoil anything for anybody, but I think it's important, since we are talking about a show in Disney World, to give a little bit of an idea of what the story might be. So if you're comfortable with that, let's kind of do like the Cliff Notes version of what you saw as far as the story.
You bet. And I will say, in the first 90 seconds, it made me think of my mom, who sometimes is very anti-Disney movies, because my mother always says, why does a parent have to die in the first 2 minutes of most Disney movies?
It's she's right. I mean,
you and now you're all thinking about it because you don't think she's right.
No, she's
but I'm
right.
I'm also going to share on our Facebook channel a video that I took of Susan Egan, who was Belle on Broadway. And I got to see her live. She was a speaker at a conference I was at. And she wrote this song called Where Have All the Mothers Gone? Mm-hmm. And she sings about all of the characters that we know who have no mothers, including Belle.
Right, right.
And so what's going to happen? Are we going to have to, you know, kill off all these princesses later because we don't allow mothers?
Yes, so, yes, of course.
It was an interesting start. So right away, as I was taking the elevator down from the third floor, the people that I was in the elevator were talking, and I was not with those people. They were not traveling with me. They were just in the elevator with me.
Sure.
One of the people in that party clearly lost their father recently.
Gotcha.
And so one of them said to the other, if I knew this was the first 5 minutes, I would not have done this. And so it is a spoiler to the story, but it's a very, you know, first 90 seconds. And is the storyline about the father dying and the gift that he leaves his daughter? So know that if you've had an unfortunate recent event in your family, it might not be the show for you.
Right.
But the father was an animator. And so he used to have his animation studio in the basement of his house. And his daughter used to often come down to his office and watch him draw. And clearly he knew he was going to die. And he left her a letter and an unfinished piece of animation. And the directive that she should complete this work of art, as that will always connect them.
Interesting.
So very touching storyline once you get past it.
Sure.
And again, they now incorporate the amazing acrobatic team they have. They've got those big spinning wheels that they're inside of and outside of and jumping on. Really, all of those neat things for her to learn about animation. There's a part where those wheels come out and they show, you know, how the measurement of the wheel impacts how the characters will move and how to create an arc. Some of it is behind a scrimmed screen so that you can see her imagination starting to work on bringing these characters to life. And it really is a show that's all about the senses. She's kind of in thought at one point, and all of a sudden, off to my right, I hear the sound of a train coming. And then the train gets closer to me. And I'm pretty much dead center in the theater. And now it's clearly moving past me and to my left. And the sound, you know, gets closer and further. And then all of a sudden, the train is on the stage. Just amazing how they envelop you and really bring you into that. The talent is phenomenal. There's a scene that I loved that there were six ladies on unicycles doing ballet. I mean, I think ballet is one thing, being on a unicycle is another. The art of putting them together was phenomenal.
And so incredibly Cirque, right? I mean, yes. you really couldn't define it any other way than, of course there's ballet on unicycles in a Cirque show. That's just, of course there is.
And you really, you just saw it, and now you're saying, okay, well, where's the Disney in it? Where's the Disney? And there was a part where they brought out these beautiful silver silhouette statues of the characters, and you know, the artists kind of worked with them. And again, in the realm of Cirque, it's very sensory. And sometimes you need to see the show more than once because there's too much to watch. So while the ballerinas are on stage, above the stage, there's artwork going on. And maybe you saw the Fantasia hippos, because they're ballerinas, making their way across, and you saw how the girl was integrating that movement into her animation. And then to make sure that they appeal to everybody, a section all about how do you catch a villain? How do you bring characters to life to show evil and create that other element of a story? Really just a phenomenal fun night. Not inexpensive, as we said, not for everybody, but if you're a Cirque fan, if you're a Broadway fan, if you're, again, what I say, a Disney regular, if you're in Disney World multiple times a year, this is a bucket list item to add. If you're not the biggest Broadway family, this isn't a first trip kind of thing. Definitely a show worth seeing. Really, again, just the talent pool is so amazing. Some points I was looking at these acrobats saying, you know, how are they pulling this off? And what incredible coordination. One of the other things that I love about Cirque, as I alluded to in the beginning, is it's not like a typical play. It doesn't go dark and the scene changes and they, you know, run out with new set. They work in changing the set into the routine and into the act. So those performers really, really work hard.
Well, I will say, having not seen it and just hearing what you are describing, it sounds, whether it's intentional or not, and maybe this is a reach on my end, but it sounds like when you know the history of Walt Disney as the man, and you know that he had a great affinity for his children, there's a nod there. There's a nod there that this work that he has done has been left in capable hands for us to finish, that'll always link us to the designs that he had. The fact that there's a train in it, I think, is by design. And we know that Walt had an affinity for trains. I just think that there are things about here in this story that maybe don't scream Mickey Mouse and maybe don't scream Donald Duck, but do scream the origins of how this man has created art that has been drawn to life and continues to change as he told us it would. So I really appreciate you taking the time to break down this show.
I love that analysis. Yeah, that is awesome.
I mean, and look, Cirque is such a unique environment to catch a show that I think it would be unrealistic of us to expect them to roll something out there where we have Mickey ears and Donald and Goofy. It's just not, it's not really what it is. But when you look at the origins of how our memories are made with this company, it sounds like they did a great job. I'm excited to see it. I appreciate you taking the time to break it down. Anything else you want to share before we call it an evening?
The only thing that I can't share, because it's not out there, but I'm hoping it will be out there at some point, and I'm not saying I have insider knowledge on it.
Of course not.
But when Lanuba was there, they used to offer a backstage tour and an educational tour. And they were amazing. I've done both of them, and I am really hoping that we get to see that in Drawn to Life as well, because there are some really unique elements. And, you know, when I did it for Lanuba, we learned how to do the Diablos, kind of embarrassing when you're, you know, a 40-year-old adult and the 8-year-old can do the tricks and you can't. But this had some unique elements that I'd love to find the secrets behind to do it. So I hope one day we can also do a show on the backstage tour for this, that they'll have one and we'll be able to share that with you as well.
Awesome. Well, Sandy, thank you for taking the time to explain it to us, and have a great week.
You too, Jeff. Thank you.
And that's a wrap this week on Let's Talk Diz. If anyone you know can benefit from this or any show, please share on your Facebook and Instagram for other Disney fans to enjoy. And don't forget to reach out to the folks at Easy Diz by Instant In Person Travel Services for any Disney destination planning. Make it a great week. And as always, keep making memories.